That's the story of my life.
Oh. Now, wait a minute. When you were at work, I'd like to know more. Maybe you were, you know, I'm sure you were very busy working most of the time you were there, but you mentioned there was a cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
Did you socialize with your coworkers at all? Did you ever see them outside of work or mainly just at work?
No. Mm-mm. Well, we used to have like a... No, well, after once a year they have a picnic up in, and we all go. The buses, our buses is there to the mm-hmm. place, and everybody goes, the foreman's going, this thing and that thing. And that's once a year in August. I go, I don't go now because I don't have any ride, but they have that, used to have that. We socialize in that. We'd play games, and we'd get there at 10 o'clock. And you ate all day long. They start you off with coffee and a donut or something at 10 o'clock as soon as you got there. That would be 10 o'clock. 11 o'clock, they would serve clam chowder. 1 o'clock, hamburgers and hot dogs.
Mm.
Then we'd go in the big room and they'd play bingo and this thing and that and they'd auction off. You win prizes. And then we'd stay in there until about 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock, you come back out. It's liver and bacon, roast beef, all of that. Corn on the cob. Around 6 o'clock, it was something else. Watermelon or something else. You eat all day long. But it's all free. It's all free. Every year they have it. They still have it. They still have it. I don't know what this place is. It takes about an hour. It's outside of Meriden.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, why don't you get, you know, go someplace else? But they still do that. And once a year they have a dinner for all the retirees to come. Stuff like that, yeah. But, no, I never, you know, socialized too much. Those kind of things. But when we have lunch, you know, we're all sitting around together. There's a bunch here and there's a bunch there, and we're all eating at the same time, you know. And this one would bring in, you know, those Slovak girls would bring in cookies, and somebody else would bring in something. I'd bring in something, you know. And we'd pass it all around and everything. It was a congenial crowd. Congenial crowd.
Did you ever feel that... At least nowadays we read about all these people during the First and Second World Wars coming sometimes from Europe or other countries or more recent immigrants to cities like Bridgeport for manufacturing jobs. Did you ever feel that you had learned more about other countries or cultures that you had contact that you might not usually have, where you might not usually have had contact, maybe if you just hadn't gone to work in that kind of environment, but you know, were a resident.
Well, I think I would have probably come in contact, but I've met a lot of Pennsylvanians, which I never, you know, come in contact with people mm-hmm. from Pennsylvania. They were nice. They were hardworking, but they were here for to make the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very pleasant, but they were here for the duration, as they say.
Right.
And when things went down, they went on back to Pennsylvania.
Mm.
But I'm like this... What I say, Marcel, she's still here, but she's from Pennsylvania, and they have a different work ethic than what we do, ethic than we have. They're strictly business.
Hmm.
They came here to make the dollar, and they made the dollar. They went home, bought their property and stuff, and that's that. And a lot of the black ones did too. They came. A lot of the young women, black women, came up from down south. Some of them was just out of high school.
Hmm.
And I couldn't understand how their parents could let them come to a strange place with strangers that they had never laid eyes on. There's one woman that she had about 5 girls living in her house. She lived over in Laurel Avenue. And she didn't know them from Adam. And those girls came there and they lived with her, I guess, 5 and 6 years. And they were young. Some got out of hand and some didn't. But I couldn't see letting my child, you know, come that far from home.
Were there a lot of black people also working at GE?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
During that time, or
oh,
during
yeah.
the war
yeah, yeah.
time?
There was quite a few, quite a few. And they was mostly from down south. There wasn't the West Indians and Haitians that's in here now. Of course, I don't know many Haitians, but I know quite a few Jamaican. Mm-hmm. They weren't here.
Right.
They must have come in later on, you know. Mm-hmm. But there's quite a few of them now. But
do you think a lot of those people stayed, the ones that came up from the south?
Oh, yeah, they're here. Yeah. They're here running things. Trying to run the churches and stuff.
Oh, so they came in and took over
they
the
took
community.
Over. They come in and took over.
Now, you said after you left the village where you and your husband and daughter had lived, that you moved to your house on the east side?
Yeah.
And can you tell us a little bit about that neighborhood, what it was like then, and what's happened since then?
It was a nice neighborhood. It was right off of Stratford Avenue. We had a big market on the corner, and there was my landlady was Italian, very nice. And in the next house, there was a big, was a store, Puritan Market. They were Italian. And they had apartments upstairs. There's two white families lived upstairs. And my landlord, she's Italian. I'm on the other side, on this side. No problem whatsoever. Across the street was a store. And a Jewish guy, he had like a novelty stores and stuff like, I mean, he had a business, but he had his stuff stored in there in the garage. Beautiful. No problem whatsoever. No problem whatsoever. But my God, I go by there now. The drugs came in, you know. In fact, that's why I moved, because they shot through my windows.
Oh, my goodness.
And because I had, they stand in front of my house going to show sell drugs, and I would go to the door and say, get away from my door. And they'd give me a bad, you know, look at me. They wouldn't say nothing, but look at me. And they were mostly the West Indians and Jamaicans. And it got unbearable. And it was one young Italian fella, a kid. He was a kid, and he was out there selling. And they'd line up in front of my house. I had a gate. Nice gate and everything, but by that time, the landlady had moved, and she went to Shelton, but she still rented the house out.
Right.
So I stayed on one side, and another black family moved on the other side. And want to come in our yard, and they got a gate. And you don't come in there in this yard. You see that fence out there? You see that gate? You don't open that gate. That, you know? So this Italian, Tito. He was out there so clean and nice and everything. And Tito would be out there selling as hard as he could sell. He amongst the Jamaicans. But Tito was cute. I would, as I say, I'd go downtown all the time and go in this place and go in that place. I would go downtown and he'd see me when I left. And I'd get off the bus on the corner of Orange Street and walk down Newfield Avenue. Like, the firehouse was there too then.
Oh, yeah.
And he'd look up and he'd see me. He'd say, uh-oh, here she is. She's back. She's back. But that's all he'd say, you know. She's back. And he'd move. You know, he'd go on down further.
Right.
But these other birds, they wouldn't move. They were defiant, you know. And I heard this Tito talking one day, something about going to Harding School, going to Harding in September. So you can see how young he was. He said in September he would be going to Harding. And I said to myself, my God. And he's out here. And that's been, 6 or 7 years ago.
Oh, gosh.
And now I go through the street. Sometimes I just walk, you know, take a little walk. And the house is empty. It's been rented empty. And I went by this summer. And they had card tables out there. They were sitting in the yard playing cards. I don't know if they're drug deals or what they are, but they're in the front yard like they own it. Looks like a war zone in there.
When would you say the neighborhood started to change? Did businesses leave, or You mentioned you had several businesses across the street.
Yeah, the businesses moved out. Yeah.
Things were pretty
mm-hmm.
orderly.
Mm-hmm.
When did the change? When did you start to notice changes as a resident there?
When birds started coming in, and across the street, the Jamaicans opened up a nightclub or something.
Mm.
You know, and then, because there was quite a few white on the street, but gradually people moved, the store closed down, they went out of business, the firehouse moved.
Mm.
Yeah. They robbed, that's before the drugs come in there, but the fire trucks used to go out and leave the doors open, you know. And they went out one day to a fire, and they come back, their radio and television was gone. So from then on, they closed, when they used to go out on a fire, somebody had to stay behind and close down them doors. And that was way before the drugs and stuff coming in.
Mm.
But it's steady going down in the houses. They're not taking care of the houses around or anything. Just going down.
So
all
that
over Bridgeport is going down.
Mm.
You see all these houses boarded up and everything?
Mm.
It's a shame. And there's people that don't have a place to live. And every house is boarded up. Boarded up. It's a shame. But downtown here, and downtown here, Main Street, there's nothing downtown here unless you want to eat. If you want to eat, it's all right.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be Meg's, Howland's, Smith & Murray's.
And what were those? You could elaborate on.
Howland's was a dry goods store. Well, I mean, a clothing store.
Mm-hmm.
They had everything. They're what they call, they're in Stratford now, they just moved. But that's what it used
like to a call. Variety store? Or?
Yeah, they had everything, yeah. Howland's, what do they call that now? Not Stearns. But Meg's used to be a very fashionable dress store. And there used to be Smith and Murray's was a dry goods store. They had everything. And then there was the banks and stuff, you know, Connecticut National and all them banks. And on the corner, on State Street, there was Bridgeport Public Market. And you go on that market and buy anything in the world you want. My grandmother used to come all the way from Stratford for tub butter. Tub butter. But that, you know, they didn't
right.
butter in the bricks and stuff, but she liked tub butter. And you could get tub butter at the Bridgeport Public Market. So we'd come over and she'd get these big, you know, baskets of food and stuff. And then we'd take the bus and go on, the trolley and go on back to Stratford. But there was so many stores there on Main Street. Now I counted, I think there's 7 places to eat. You can't even get a pair of stockings on there on Main Street now.
Yeah.
It's terrible. If you don't go to McDonald's or Dunkin' Donuts, you might as well stay off Main Street.
Hmm.
There's nothing there. Nothing there. You know that big bank on Golden, was it Fairfield Avenue? Not Fairfield Avenue. Golden Hill Street.
Mm-hmm.
That bank has been closed for so long. Remember that bank that used to be there?
No, I don't, because I haven't lived in Bridgeport long, but I've seen pictures of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Used to be a big bank there. Now prostitutes are hanging out there.
Hmm.
Because right across the street, there's a food stand.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be surprised that there are women. And I've seen a gray-haired woman out there. I don't know what she's doing out there, but she's one of them.
Hmm.
But just run down. Nothing. Nothing. My girlfriend worked at a beautiful tea room there on Bank Street. It used to be Jeanette's Tea Room. Very nice. The businessmen and everything used to come in there and have their luncheon and everything. Nothing downtown.
What about the people, you said you've always been active in this church, in your congregation, and that some of these younger waves of people have come up from other areas and sort of settled into the community. Do they work outside of Bridgeport now, would you say? Is it less of a community-based organization? Are people more spread out? Or?
No, it's a community-based because they get there in the church. Every day there's something going on. They have Bible studies and they have a community breakfast. and then they have a share plan where you put so much money a month, and you get about $35 or $40 worth of food for $15, but you have to come and get it and pick it up. Plan sharing or something like that. And then with the white churches and stuff, there's always something going on. Always something going on. But no, everybody's kind of cooperating. But some of the old head don't want to back down, you know. They don't want the young ones to come in to do much, you know. Yeah. Well, we used to do this and we used to do that. But you do have to change with the times, you know. You have to change with the times.
Now, where do you live now?
I live on Connecticut Avenue, not far from Connecticut. On Connecticut Avenue, not far from Central. I'm between two churches. So I don't feel like going to my own. I can roll over across the street and I roll down to the corner. And there's churches. If we don't get to heaven or something, I don't know why. Because Bridgeport's got more churches than anything else.
Oh, it certainly does.
Church. Yeah. They're not building any schools or anything, but they got plenty of churches. And some of them I can't understand. You know, they're like little storefronts and stuff. To each his own. But nobody's bothering me. I've made it so far, thank God. I look over my shoulders when I'm going down the street. And I peek out my window to see what's going on. But so far, it's been all right.
Do you still have family in this area besides your granddaughter?
I have four sisters.
You mentioned some siblings. Oh, great.
I have four sisters, and they have children, and my nephew. Yeah, we're a big family. We're dwindling, but there's still quite a few of us. As I say, I'm the oldest, but I got one sister. She's got two. I got two sisters. They each got two children. They're grown. And they've got children. And I've got my nephew in Milford. Of course, he's a man. But that's my sister's. Well, my sister, she only had one child, and I only had one child. But my brother's got five, and they're all grown in New Haven, in New York. And then my cousin in New Haven, his son, we're cousins, two sisters' children. His son is one of the star basketball players. What's his name? Scotty? Yeah, Scotty Burrell. He plays for one of the teams, I don't know. But,
so your family came from this area, most of them, and a lot of them still stayed in this general area.
That's what I'm so sorry about. I said, some of you just get out. Go someplace. Because you're here, you've been here. That's the Scotty. Because they say he's a professional basketball player, he did move to South Carolina, and he bought his mother and father a house down there next door to him. So they do, because we don't get in contact with them that much, but they do go back and forth from Hamden, Connecticut, to North Carolina. But Michelle, she was in Detroit and stuff around, but
your granddaughter?
Yeah, Michelle is a traveling person. She's getting ready to travel someplace now because she likes to go.
Mm-hmm. How about you? Have you ever wanted to?
No. First place, I'm afraid of flying. And that stops everything. Because if you don't fly, you're not getting anywhere.
Well, nowadays, I'm afraid that's partly true.
I've been to Washington and stuff like that, Virginia. When my nephew lived there, I was down in Virginia, in Fairfax, Virginia.
Yes. I grew up very near there.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And I liked it very much. I took Michelle with me because she used to go every place I went. She told me here about a month ago. I went to Canada one time, and she said she stood in the window, and she said she cried so hard. And she said, Mama told me, don't let Grandma see you crying. And I said, I didn't know that you were standing back there crying because you wanted to go with me. I said, I'll come back. You got you. She said, I know you were. But she said, Grandma, I cried so hard. She said, you were going down the street, you and Miss Rose, that's my friend. And she said, I wanted to go so bad. And said, Mama said, don't cry. Don't let Grandma see you. So I said, well, I took you the next year. I said, I took you to Canada.
Oh, so you did go on some trips.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've been to Canada, and as I said, Virginia. Every time I went someplace, she went with me.
Now, did she live with you, or?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, when was that?
Oh, when I lived on Newfield Avenue, and she was going to, well, she was going to Eastside Middle School, but her mother and had bought a house on Pearl Harbor Street. Mm-hmm. But her mother always worked nights, her mother's LPN.
Oh.
And she always works nights. And so she would come, the bus would pick her up at my house, the school bus, and take her to school. And when she'd come off from school, they would drop her off at my house. So she's always been around me.
Oh,
and
I see.
Her mother come home from work, she would stop by, pick her up, and I'd have her, I'd do her uniform. When she went to Colby, her skirts, her uniforms and stuff, I always did her uniforms, and all her mother did was pick her up at night, and I'd have her blouses and skirt ready for the next day and stuff like that.
Now, at this point, were you still working at GE?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would get home at 3:30, and she would be there. Yeah. And when I retired, she came permanently. I think I retired, well, I retired on a Thursday, and Michelle came in indefinitely Friday. She then went back to mom, back to her mother's house.
Mm-hmm.
Been with me ever since. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was handy because I was, as I said, I was by myself most of the time. My husband and I had separated. And she was a lot of company, carrier, you know. When she had to, when I'd make arrangements for this and make arrangements for that, you know, because she was co-captain on the basketball team for Colby, and was, you know, cheerleading, practicing this thing and that thing. And I'd see that she'd get the place because her mother was working.
Right.
You know. So, yeah. Then she went up to, she represented Colby up in Hartford when, Ella Grasso was president, was governor.
Oh.
Yeah, she was the representative from Connecticut schools. She was, for one day, she was Mrs. Grasso. She sat in Miss Grasso's seat. She
was, she, that sounds like fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was up there. They have it every year. I still, I imagine they still have that government thing for the different high schools. I imagine. And you're appointed, you know, by your peers and stuff. So one year she landed up there in Hartford as the governor for a day. So she's done a lot for our little South.
So really, besides your own child, you were here on the scene, so to speak, and your daughter and her husband lived in the same city. You were able to also take a real hand in raising your granddaughter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yep. She was there morning, noon, and night.
Now, is there anything else that you'd like to tell me about your work experiences or anything about your residency in Bridgeport and some of your experiences here before we conclude? I'd love to hear more.
No, I think
it's important things you don't think we've covered.
I don't think so. Did I tell you about the hurricane, the first hurricane I ever saw?
No. Oh, please tell me about that.
It was 1939. I lived on Broad Street, and I hadn't been married too long. And, Seaside Park used to be beautiful. In fact, her mother, I used to put her in the carriage and take her down every day to Seaside Park, and me and two other women, we had children, and we'd put them in the carriages, and we'd go down the park, and it was beautiful, all the beautiful trees and everything. Mm-hmm. And in 1939, we had a hurricane, first one I think that they had around this place, and the water came all the way from the park up to Whiting Street.
Mm.
And my mother-in-law, as I said, older woman, church woman. Y'all better start praying. And all you could think about is drowning because you got the water from Seaside Park all the way up the street.
That's several blocks inland from the shore.
Yeah. and the lady upstairs, she had state children. She raises state children. And the kids came downstairs. They were crying. They were scared. Mm. I'm scared, too. But I said to the kids, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. So I said, I hope to God I'm right, you know. But that was a scary time. And the tall trees down. Seaside hasn't looked the same. Mm. So they never replaced the trees.
Right. Was your house damaged? Did you have to evacuate?
No, it didn't come up as far as us.
Not quite as far.
No, it was a block before us.
Oh, gosh.
But they had scared the life out of me and these kids and everything, because one more block, it was us.
Mm-hmm.
But we were right to the railroad. And one more block.
It's a long way up.
Us. Yes. Oh, yes. From, can you imagine, from Seaside Park? Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, my. I said, kids, oh, it's all right, all right, all right. My mother-in-law said, yeah, when I was down home, such and such and such and such, you know, she's making it, oh, Jesus.
Down home is Georgia.
Yeah.
Your mother-in-law.
Yeah, and she had these kids scared to death. And I said, no, no, don't worry about it, don't worry. And the lady that took care of them, she was just as bad as my mother-in-law, because she was from down there, too. And, you know, they talk about the floods and stuff that they had down there, and how this one was swept away and that one was swept away. And then they quote the Bible and everything. They had these poor kids scared to death. Me, too. But that's 1939. Mm. I'll never forget that.
Now, how long did that last?
I think it maybe about 2 days. Mm. And the water's going down, but the damage was tremendous, so much damage. And they never bothered about it. You know, the trees was blown down, and they didn't never bother about it. And that's why there's such few trees down there now. Because they should have replaced those trees. Because it was a beautiful park, a beautiful park. Mm-hmm. And you could go down there, and nobody bothered you. You better not go down there now. In fact, I haven't been down there in about 20 years. But you can walk any end of South Main Street with no problem whatsoever. 1 o'clock at night. Nobody going to bother you. Nobody say anything. Everybody mind their own business. And by where they're going to have the ballpark now, the Jenkins Brothers, that
right.
Water fountain would be, you know, be going.
Oh.
That was so nice there. Just, the water was just flowing down. And I walk on down the street.
What was that neighborhood like where your husband, you and your husband first lived there when you had just gotten married,
nice.
Down near the park?
It was nice.
Did a lot of people own houses down there,
yeah,
or rented?
They rent. Most of it was rentals. That was during the Depression, and most of them was, a lot of them was on, they didn't call it welfare then. I don't know what they called it. But I know they used to get
subsidies.
That there was a store or something down, way further down the street. I know used to go for bread and milk every day. And they got a box of food. Like, it was like welfare, but they got a box of food. They got eggs and oleo and stuff like that. But every day you went down to this place, and I'd see them coming back with a quart of milk and a loaf of bread. But that was every day.
Mm.
So, but the neighborhood was quiet and clean. But nobody had any money. I don't think there was any work or anything around. As I said, my husband was staying at the garage, and I know he didn't get a fortune, but it was a steady job.
Right.
Every day he went. But my mother-in-law, she worked a little bit, the domestic work, you know. And that was that. Mm-hmm. But it was quiet. But now, they tell me I wouldn't know the place. It's all tore up. The gun built a ballpark or something down there, and everybody had to move from down there. And they tell me grass is growing down there where the people used to live.
They're starting to build. That's happened just since I've been here.
I've
been here for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're still, you know, in the process of building the stadium, so that'll really be different.
They really will. They really will. And you say you're from down there near McLean?
Arlington. Yeah.
Arlington.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you were the cemetery.
That's right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. I've been there.
So you've been to Washington,
oh,
you've
yeah,
seen
yeah.
the site, some of your trips.
Sites, yeah. Mm-hmm. I went to the little cabins where on, well, Monticello, is it?
Mm-hmm. In Monticello. Yeah, that's in Charlottesville.
Mm-hmm. But I stayed in Fairfax with my nephew and McLean next door, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the, wasn't it, the Kennedys used to be.
Somewhere
yeah.
around there, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I know they said they were in the neck. When I went there, I was so surprised, which I had never seen before. There were so many Chinese people working in the stores, clerks,
mm-hmm.
sales girls, you know, and I had never seen that.
Compared to Bridgeport?
Bridgeport, yeah.
When was that?
Oh, I don't remember when it was. That was when Michelle was younger.
In the 70s or the 80s?
Oh, no, it wasn't in the 80s. It must have been in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, there are a lot of Vietnamese people in that area. A lot of Vietnamese people came to that area in the 70s, of
mm-hmm.
course, and 80s, and
mm-hmm.
Cambodians
mm-hmm.
during the
that time.
Times of turbulence in
mm-hmm.
Southeast Asia. So that's interesting.
Well, yeah, I was surprised.
I guess they're really, at that time in Bridgeport, there were more Hispanics, perhaps, coming to the city or
mm-hmm.
versus...
There wasn't many
other
Hispanics
groups from
Asia. In 70 either.
No?
No, they started coming in around 75 or 80. They didn't get in here, you know, until later. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they opened your door, huh?
Yeah. So I can stop.